You're listening to the midweek edition of Agriculture Today on the K-State Radio Network. Wheat producers around Kansas, be mindful of a problem with a certain insect that has become more accelerated, shall we say, in Kansas fields in the past few years. It's called the wheat head army worm, and it's caused more than a little consternation in recent wheat harvests. Joining us now is J.P. Michaud. He is a research entomologist with K-State's Agricultural Research Center at Hays. This really burst upon the scene here a couple of years back, J.P., and this army worm and its activity has become more than just a nuisance, hasn't it?
Well, that's correct, Eric. And according to my predecessor, there was very rarely a problem in wheat over the past few decades. But in the last 5 or 6 years, it's been almost a consistent problem in every harvest, although, not always in the same places or in the same fields. The wheat head army worm is a concern because of the damage it does is not distinguishable from the damage done by store product pests such as the lesser grain borer and probably granary weevils and weevils that hollow out the seeds, because the young instar larvae will produce a hollowed out and tunneling in the seed that is very similar to that type of damage. And of course, if you have more than 10 insect damage kernels per 100 grams of wheat, you are downgraded. And so this is the problem. It's not the insect itself, but the damage is not distinguishable from other insects, which are more of a concern.
What is known about the actual activity of this wheat head army worm, where it shows up first, and what it does exactly as it works on a wheat head?
Well, it's interesting because the larvae themselves are quite difficult to observe. Best time to look from is early in the morning or in the evening. But when they're small, they tend to be quite cryptic, and they don't become bold and feed openly on the heads until they become much larger. And you can see them hanging upside down on the awns and chewing the grain right out of the spike.
Then result with the kind of damage you're talking about, which can be confused for stored grain damage, yeah. And that's where the discounts at the elevator or other delivery point come in.
Well, that's it. And of course, as the grain goes in at the elevator, you can see some of these larvae hanging up on the screens often, and that can be a concern if people worry how much grain they're going to keep eating. They're not a stored product pest, so that's not really a concern. Whatever larvae go into storage will either die or emerge as moths and fly away. There are two generations a year, and it's the spring generation that the overwintering larvae emerge as adults early in spring and lay eggs at the base of the wheat plants. And this is the generation that damages the wheat. They mature about the time of wheat harvest and emerge themselves as adults over an extended period in summer, where they probably, and again, there's not a lot of information on it, probably use a variety of summer warm season grasses and to produce that second generation of larvae that will overwinter in the soil.
But because of the nature of their activity and their feeding, there's little that a producer can do in a preventative, say, insecticide treatment to stem this problem?
Well, that's precisely it, because by the time you're aware of it, the larvae are usually too large to be of any value to treat them, because they will have already finished most of their feeding, and so you won't save any grain or prevent any damage. The other, even more serious problem is that at that point, you're so close to harvest that you could not treat and then observe the pre-harvest interval. And so really, insecticide treatment is out of the question. There's also no established economic threshold because, again, a grain that's completely lost, we really don't know how much, but it's only the partially damaged grain by the young larvae that is the problem. And again, by the time the larvae are big, that type of damage has already occurred. And so there is only one thing that that we have observed that could be of use to the farmer, and that is the fact that damage tends to be concentrated around the field margins. And so if a grower wanted to be proactive, he could go out and scout in the evening and see just how much he had in the way of armyworms feeding on those spikes. And if it appeared that there were significant numbers, the strategy would be to divide a field into four parts and harvest it in four parts instead of taking the first load all the way around the edge. So then that way you would distribute the damaged grain amongst four loads instead of concentrating it in one, and reduce the risk of a downgrade. And in fact, what we normally see, in fact, is that It's the first load that gets downgraded because it has all the wheat from the edge of the field in it, and the remaining loads are usually fine.
So basically you're diluting the problem as you go through a harvesting field.
Exactly. So you're playing a numbers game to dilute the problem. If you think you have any significant amounts of wheat-head armyworm damage, you want to reduce your chances for a downgrade, and that's how I would go about it.
Again, JP, what a producer is looking for as they would make a few passes through their fields and scout for the damage inflicted by this pest?
Well, what you're looking for is larvae that are, they're either straw-colored to pale green, depending on how ripe the wheat was when they actually fed on it, and they'll be hanging upside down on the awns of the wheat. So if you look closely at the wheat heads, you'll see these caterpillars feeding upside down on the awns, hanging from the awns. They're quite easy to spot, although of course they are very similar in coloration to the wheat. And they have longitudinal stripe down each side of them.
And we didn't mention this before, but how widespread in Kansas is this issue to your understanding so far?
Well, this is a very widely distributed insect with resident populations all over the Midwest, as far as I can tell, and way up into the Northeast as far as Canada, from the reports I've seen. I mean, in other words, the range of this insect extends far beyond wheat-growing areas. And so I think it's potentially a problem where populations, for whatever reasons, manage to build up to appreciable levels in any wheat-growing area, you can have a problem.
I want to reemphasize something that you brought up earlier. Again, this pest will not go on to cause recurring damage to wheat in storage. So if a producer is holding their wheat on farm, say, once that wheat goes in, this won't be exacerbated as a problem.
No. Most of the larvae, as I say, are finished feeding around the time of wheat harvest. So they're either going to emerge as moths and escape, or they're going to be smothered and die in the grain.
All right. Once again, if you want to avoid docking at a serious level at the elevator because of this wheat-head armyworm's feeding being confused with what we call IDK, why, you'll want to figure out ways of harvesting that wheat so as to not concentrate the damage in any one load or loads. That's the point there. And you are interested more from a research standpoint, you say, JP, in this second-generation activity. Your aim is to figure out just what goes on there. So perhaps one day in the future, there can be an early warning system, if you will, for damage from this pest.
Well, we do have identified and commercially available a pheromone, so that this is the first year, in fact, when it has been possible to monitor flights of the moth. And so in years when we've had significant damage in wheat, you'll see large flights of moths in the fall. But what we really want to know, perhaps, is if the flights are large in the spring, because that'll determine the overwintering, how successful the overwintering population was. But that said, even knowing that we have significant flights of armyworm, it doesn't necessarily, give you any recourse in terms of a course of action to take. So it's more information, but at the end of the day, you still got to go out and look at the field to see if you think you have enough damage to modify your harvesting pattern.
The fact of the matter is, this is only a problem of economic significance over the past few years, so it may take some time to really figure out how to fully contend with this wheat-head armyworm for subsequent years.
Well, yes, and this is something that we're going to have, if it continues to be a problem annually, then we're going to have more opportunity to find ways of mitigating that damage if possible, and have more observations that we can use to try and manage the problem. But from what I've seen over the past 5 years, it's varied, but we have consistently had calls at wheat harvest over the past 5 years.
Once again, you in the entomology department have been sharing information on this damage from this pest with county extension agricultural agents. So if a producer has questions about what might be going on, and if in fact this armyworm is a problem in their fields, they can turn to those folks.
Yes, in fact, we will have an article. There's a page available, a web page detailing the biology of this pest, where you can see pictures on the K-State entomology website, and there'll also be an article in the upcoming newsletter from the entomology department, which will be out at the end of this week.
Very good. That's at entomology.ksu.edu, by the way. And thanks for the, pardon the expression, heads up on the wheathead armyworm. Let's hope it's not as magnified a problem for wheat producers as it has been in recent years, JP.
Well, thank you, Eric. Always a pleasure.
We appreciate your time. J.P. Michaud is a research entomologist with K-State's Agricultural Research Center at Hays. That's the latest thinking on managing your harvest against the damage from this armyworm. Here on Agriculture Today, we'll be back with more here on the K-State Radio Network.